Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Dalid, 9 lines from the top. We are, in truth, in the middle of a discussion. We were discussing the issue of sources for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish for Prishah, the separation of the Kohen Gadol from his household, from his wife, for a period of 7 days before Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yochanan had mentioned that he learned that from Miluim. And Reish Lakish mentioned that he learns it from Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh heading, where you see a Mivneh is a structural note, where you see a double underline featured, highlighting the expression Tanyo Kavose, initially of Rabbi Yochanan, and later for Reish Lakish. So, that means that we will see in the Gemara Tanaic sources that support both of these approaches. So the Gemara, Tanyo Kavose de Reb Yochanan, Tanyo Kavose de Reish Lakish. Tanyo Kavose de Reb Yochanan, we have a Tanaic source supporting Reb Yochanan that says that Prisha for Yom Kippur is learned from Miluim. So the Pasuk says, Bezois Yavu Aaron El HaKodesh. That's the Pasuk by Yom Kippur. And it says, the translation is, and with this Aaron will enter the holiness. Bameh Sha'amur Ba'inyan. When the Pasuk says Bazos, means with this, it means with that which is written somewhere else. My he, what's that somewhere else? Be'inyan Miluim. The Pasuk then is making reference to that with that which is mentioned in Miluim, so he will enter the Yom Kippur service. Uma Omur Be'inyan Miluim. What is mentioned by Miluim that we're understanding as having relevance to Yom Kippur. The Brisa explains, Aaron Pirei Shiva Veshimei Shiyoi Mechad U'Moshe Mosar Loi Kol Shiva Kedei Lechanchoi Bavoda. We know by Miluim that Aaron was separated from his house for 7 days, concluding the 7-day period. He then served on the 8th day, 1 day. And during those 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu Mosalo, he transmitted, he taught Aaron in order to establish him, Kedei Lechancho Bavoda, to establish him in the service of the Mishkan. The Afludoros, so too for generations, Kohen Gadol, Poresh Shiva Umishamesh Yom Echad. The Kohen Gadol, likewise, is just like Aaron happened to have been the Kohen Gadol, so too in subsequent generations a Kohen Gadol separates himself from his house for 7 days, Umishamish Yom Echad, and serves 1 day, namely Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur service is done exclusively by the Kohen Gadol. Ushnei Talmidei Chachomim Talmidov Shel Moshe, and 2 Talmudic sages who are students of Moshe Rabbeinu. Skipping 2 words momentarily, Moisrim lo kol shiva, they educate him. They teach him all 7 days, kedei lechancho bavoda, so as to educate him regarding the avoda. Now, notice we skip 2 words. Let's read this line again. We said, Ushnei talmidei chachomim mi talmidov shel Moshe lafukei tzedukim. 2 talmidei chachomim that are students of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was we'll call him the dean of the oral tradition. He received on Mount Sinai, in addition to the Torah Shebiksav, he also received the Torah Shebaalpeh, the true way of understanding the Psukim, to the exclusion of Tzedukim. These are people who don't accept the Torah Shebaalpeh, the oral tradition. They look at the Psukim at face value, and as a result of their approach to the to the Torah, they come out with a different method of executing the Yom Kippur service. And Rashi makes reference to that, that namely, it's manifest regarding the incense that's brought into the Holy of Holies, where according to the Tzedukim approach, namely by looking at the superficial translation of the Psukim, it would come out that the incense was placed on the coals prior to the Kohen Gadol's entrance to the inner sanctum, when according to true Torah tradition, we'll call it our tradition, the Kohen Gadol added the incense to the coals only once he was in the inner sanctum in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So therefore it was necessary to have true Talmidei Chachamim teaching the Kohen Gadol during that 7-day preparation period. We continue in the Tanaic source at the end of the line, Mikan Amru Shiva Yomim Kodim Yom Kippurim. From this we establish that 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibeso Lelishkas Parhedrin, the Kohen Gadol is separated from his wife and he is relocated in the Parhedrin chamber. Lishka is a chamber. Parhedrin is the name of that chamber. Ukashem Shemafrishin Kohen Gadol, and just like a Kohen Gadol is separated for a week's time prior to Yom Kippur, Kach Mafrishin Kohen Asurif Asapora Lelishka Shal Pnei Habira Sfono Mizracha. So too, the Kohen who was designated to take care to process the Pora Aduma, the red heifer whose ashes were used for purification of Tumas Meis, those defiled to the dead. So he too was separated for a week's time. And Rashi is quick to point out that the separation of the Kohen Asurif is not derived from Psukim, but rather it's a stringency that's imposed upon that particular individual because he's involved with the Paraduma activities. And this was, we discussed this already on previous Shurim on Daf Beis and made reference to it on Daf Gimel. So this Kohen was separated as well and into a chamber that was Al Pnei HaBira in the Beis HaMikdash, Tzfona Mizracha, in the northeastern corner of the Beis HaMikdash. V'echodzeh mazin olav kol shiva mikol chatoi shoyu shom. This we saw quoted back on Daf Gimel, and namely the Yom Kippur Kohen Gadol and the Kohen HaSurf HaSapora were sprinkled over the course of the 7 days with the chatos is a reference of Pora Duma, ash and water. V'im tomar b'miluim dam hocha mayim. You might ask, well, if we are learning pre-sha from miluim, as we said at the beginning of this Tanaic source, then by miluim there was a sprinkling, but it was done with blood. And these Kohanim, the Yom Kippur and the Kohen HaSurf HaSapora, were water sprinklings. That is not a problem. In other words, the lack of parallel isn't a problem. Amris, we answer, Nichnesu Mayim Tachas Dam. Mayim simply serves as a replacement for blood, but they're, we'll say, they're interchangeable materials regarding sprinkling. The Omer, and another Pasuk says, Kashir also biyom hazeh, Sivo Hashem Lasis Lechaper Aleichem. Now, this Pasuk is Vayikra Periches, Pasuk Lamed Dalid, which features the Prisha for Miluim, the separation of the Kohanim in anticipation of the consecration of the Mishkan. And in this Pasuk, we darshan Lasos Elu Maisapora, namely a separation for the Kohen HaSurif HaSapora, Lechaper Elu Maisi Yom Kippurim. So you see in this source that the dinim of Prisha are derived from Miluim. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan had claimed. And that's why this was brought in, Tanyo Kavose, to Rabbi Yochanan that we saw at the beginning of this source. The Gemara asks, note the arrow, by the way, to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see that this points to the beginning of the source where Bezos was featured, and the Gemara is asking, the high bezos miboya le legufe. The word bezos is needed for the Yom Kippur service itself. It's not a reference to another topic, namely miluim. And what do we mean for Yom Kippur itself? The par ben bokor lechatzos ve'al oilo, that Aaron will enter the Beis HaMikdash with these sacrifices: a cow for as a sin offering and a ram as an ola offering. Therefore, how can you say that the din of Yom Kippur is derived from Miluim teaching me about Prisha? The Gemara answers, Amri, I le korban lechudei, if bezos was a reference to the entrance of Aaron with these sacrifices to the Beis HaMikdash, note, the sacrifices were a par and an ayal. Those are male animals. And in Hebrew, the form of speech reflects the gender concerning what are you talking about. Now, these are male offerings. Therefore, if the pasuk bezos yovo Aaron was truly referring to the sacrifices, or exclusively to the sacrifices, lema kro, the pasuk should have used a masculine form, bozeh o be'ele. My bezos. Bezos is a feminine form. From the change, from this grammatical uniqueness or change, shamis minotarti, we derive both. Number one, legufe, yes, he comes with these sacrifices, but also a reference to the prisha of Milan. Now, prisha is a feminine form of speech. So bezos is also a reference to that. My v'oimer. Now, notice we have a star as well to the side of the text. In the text we saw that in addition to learning from the posuk in Vayikra Tezayin, Bezos Yovo Aaron, and connecting that to the Miluim, we had an additional drusha. So what do I need the additional drusha for? The Gemara answers, and the answer takes a couple of lines. V'chitemo Yom HaKippurim kamo hu deboi prisha. You might have thought that if you're using Miluim as your precedent, so just like the Miluim was a first time and a one time in history event, Miluim was the dedication of a reference to the dedication period of the Mishkan, so too the first Yom Kippur would require Prisha on the part of the Kohen Gadol. Kidashkachan, we read Kidashkachan as means as we found b'miluim, as was the case of the Miluim. It was a first time, a one time in history thing. Avol b'yom kippurim d'amalo, but for a generational Yom Kippur, no, maybe there would be no necessity. Inami, I might have thought, alternatively, Kohen Gadol kamu d'boi prisha. The first Kohen Gadol needed prisha, avol Kohen Gadol d'abiyamo, but in general, subsequent Kehanim Gedolim before Yom Kippur, lo, don't need Prisha. Therefore, Toshma, I need the additional source, Kasher Osa V'chulei, that, and from that additional source we learn, just like it was done by Miluim, so too for future generations, Prisha is necessary. Tanya Kavose de Reish Lakish, and now a Tanaic source that supports Reish Lakish, that you can learn the concept of Prisha from Sinai. Take note, first of all, that this source continues down the top of Omid Beis, about eight lines down the top is the continuation of the source. We will notice triangles in the course of learning the source. They highlight different names. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, you'll see triangles in two directions. With the tip facing up, those are Deos, Shehoya Prisha LeMoshe B'Sinai, that there was Prisha for Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was separated before ascending heavenwards. And then there is an inverted triangle, and it's one opinion. It's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who claims Lo Hoya Prisha. And this discussion revolves around Psukim. We have included on the side of the Gemara for your benefit more than the psukim that are cited by the Gemara itself. The Gemara focuses on Shmos Perek Chavdalet Pasuk Tezayin. But to get you into the topic, so to speak, from the standpoint of the Torah, Let's take a look at what we've written on the side. Shmos Perek Chav Dalet. We're going to be looking at Psukim Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Tezvov, and Tezayin. Tezayin will be the focal point of the Gemara, and also we'll look at Pasuk Yud Chesu. Just to get a flavor of things, let's take a look at the Psukim we've included on the side. Shmos Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Alei Elai Ohora, Veye Shom, ascend the mountain and be ascend the mountain unto me and be there for etno loch es luchay so even vatura vamitzvah asher kosafta lohorosam, and I will present to you the stone tablets and the Torah that I have written to teach you. Pasuk Yud Gimel vayoka Moshe v'Yoshua Meshosu v'Yal Moshe v'Har Olakim. And Moshe Yoshua arise, and Moshe eventually ascends the mountain. Pasuk Tezvov says, "Vayal Moshe el ahor, vayachas on es ahor." Moshe ascended the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. Pasuk Tezayin, "Vayishkon kvod Hashem al har Sinai, vayachaseu on sheshes yomim." The divine holiness or presence of the Almighty dwelt upon the mountain. And the vayechaseu, cloud covered it. Now there's a pronoun here, and that is vague, and that's going to be a central point in the Gemara's discussion. It says, in the mountain covered, vayechaseu covered him, bearing in mind there is Moshe Rabbeinu, and there is the mountain, and it says the cloud covered. Sheshes Yomim, 6 days, Vayikra El Moshe B'Mashvi, Mitoch HaOnon, and Moshe was summoned on the seventh day from the Onon, from the cloud. And Pasuk Yudches says, Vayovo Moshe B'Soch HaOnon, Vayal El Ohor, Vayi Moshe B'Hor Arboim Yom, Arboim Laila. The Moshe entered the cloud, he ascended the mountain, was there for 40 days and 40 nights. So we get a little bit into the spirit of things here with those psukim, and now we take a look at the brisa, having in mind that we're looking for a reference to Prisha, Moshe Rabbeinu's separation before arising or ascending the mountain to the receipt of the Torah. The source says, Moshe Olo Be'onon, V'Niskase Be'onon, V'Niskadish Be'onon. Moshe ascended into the cloud and was covered by the cloud and was sanctified in the cloud. Kedei Lekabel Torah LeYisrael B'Kedusha. In order to receive the Torah on behalf of Klal Yisrael in a state of holiness. Shenemar. Posuk says, Vayishkoin Fod Hashem Al Har Sinai. And we noted that was Posuk Tezayin. Ze hoya maise achar aseres hadibros shohu tchilo larboim yom divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. This incident of vayishkon kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, that posuk reflects an incident that happened after the presentation of the Ten Commandments that were the beginning of the 40-day period. That's Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So, what do we see? According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, there was a six-day period, as reflected in Pasuk Tezayin, that succeeded the receipt of the Ten Commandments. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu was spending a six-day period in the cloud, becoming sanctified before receiving the rest of the Torah. That essentially is Prisha. So there was receipt of the Ten Commandments, and then 6 days of Prisha, and then eventually ascending to the divine presence. Rabbi Akiva, the triangle inverts, and he's Omer Vayishkoin Kvod Hashem Posuk Tezayin. In fact, is Merosh Chodesh. Merosh Chodesh means the beginning of the month of Sivan. from the beginning of the month, there was this divine presence upon the mountain. We're continuing at the top of Omid Beis. Vayechaseu he'onon, that's from Pasuk Tezayin, equals Lahar. The mountain was covered, not specifically Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't covered by the cloud. The cloud was covering the mountain. Vayikra el Moshe, Moshe v'chol Yisrael oindim. This summoning of Moshe wasn't a personal summoning per se. Moshe and all of the people of Israel were standing there. That Moshe Rabbeinu is featured in this pasuk is simply as an act or an expression of honor to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Nosson, the triangle, notice, repositions itself, and you'll see that Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Nasya following him agree with Rabbi Zaglili that there was Prisha. According to Rabbi Kiva, there was no indication of Prisha. Prisha would have been reflected by the cloud covering Moshe Rabbeinu specifically, and not like Rabbi Kiva says, where the cloud was covering the mountain. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Lo Bo Hakosuv, the concept of Prisha is only for El Lamarek Achilo Shtio Shebemeov, to empty out the food and drink that was in Moshe Rabbeinu's system. Losumo kemalache hashor, is to make him like an angel, a service angel. Now, according to Reb Nosson, Rashi points out there was Prisha. However, the Prisha of Moshe Rabbeinu had a very specific purpose. It was to lamarek achil ishtia, and that is not going therefore to be the basis of Prisha for others that are nichnas lemachne shchina. So that according to Reb Nosson, Mount Sinai is not going to be the basis of Prisha for the Kohen HaSorei Fasapora, or for the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur. So that Reish Lakish's claim that Har Sinai is the precedent is not going to be based on Rabbi Nosson. Rav Masya ben Chorosh Omer, he says, like Rabbi Yosef Glili, that there was Prisha for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says that the reason for that Prisha was Lo Boa Kosov, Elo La'ayim Alov, to create a sense of fear. Kedei Shtei Torah Nitenes Be'emo Beresus Bezeah, with in a state of trepidation, if you will. Maybe that's an exaggerated expression, but a state of seriousness, of awe and fear. So then the giving of the Torah is in the state of emo, resus, and zeh. These are different terms for being in a state of tension in a positive sense, but in a state of heightened awareness and awe and fear. Emo, resus, trembling, zeh, sweating. Shenemar, Ivdu es Hashem b'yiro, v'gilu b'yirado. That the service of Hashem, the receipt of the Torah, Torah study, is to be in a state of yiro, and it also says in this part, yiro is a reference to fear, awe and fear, trepidation. V'gilu b'yirado. Gilu means rejoicing, b'yirado means with trembling, almost a contradiction in expressions. My v'gilu b'yirado. So what do you mean by rejoice in trembling? Omar of Adobar Matono, Omar Rav. The Mokoim Gila, where there is joy, and joy in this case is a reference to the receipt of the Torah, the receipt of the Ten Commandments. Well, where you are in that state of joy, Shamtei Rado, there should also be a feeling of trepidation. So that we have this concept that whereby we combine a sense of joy with a sense of heightened awareness of the seriousness of the situation, of the event. This concept, by the way, has very broad applications, first and foremost to the study of Torah, that the study of Torah is to be done with what we call kovid rosh, with a sense of seriousness, even though at the time that one is studying Torah, he's fully absorbed and experiencing a sense of joy at the same time. We continue in the Gemara. B'mai komiflegi Rabbi Yosei Glili v'Rabbi Akiva. The Rashi explains, B'mai komiflegi ma raya mevim l'divrayim. What proof do they bring to their respective opinions? So the Gemara says, their machlokis between Rabbi Yosei Glili and Rabbi Akiva, b'plukta dehani tanoi. Their controversy parallels another Tanaic controversy, the Sanya, and that's featured in this source. And on the side of the Gemara, we should point out Tat Nosei, a subtopic that we're going to deal with, is Tarich Matan Torah, the date of the receipt of the Torah. And number two, Chishuv HaTarich Shel Shvira Seluchos, and a calculation of when the breaking of the tablets took place. So we have a source. It says Beshisha b'chodesh nitna Torah l'Yisrael. On the sixth of the month, it's a reference to the month of Sivan. On the sixth of the month, Torah was given to the Jewish people. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'shiva bo. On the seventh of the month, man d'omar b'shisha. According to the Tanakhamu, says on the sixth of the month, b'shisha nitna. On the sixth, the Torah was given, and the Torah here is a reference to the Aseret HaDibros, to the Ten Commandments, u'b'shiva ola, and on the seventh he ascended the mountain to receive the rest of the Torah. The Bach in Os Aleph says that, and you can see where the note is underlined. He says, "Nir be'enai pirush u'b'shiva ola b'yomim sha'achar aseres hadibros ola b'yom hashvi dehu yud gimel lechodesh." This Bach is very, very important. B'shiva ola, as the Bach says, means he ascended to receive the rest of the Torah. That seventh isn't a reference to the seventh of Sivan. It's a reference to 7 days after the sixth, where he had received the Torah. So if you count 7 days following the sixth of Sivan, that gets you to the 13th of Sivan. So what happened between the receipt of the Ten Commandments and that 13th of Sivan? What happened? That was the Prisha days that Moshe Rabbeinu was waiting before he entered the divine presence for the receipt of the rest of the Torah. We continue. Man de'omar, at the end of the line, man de'omar b'shiva, that's Rabbi Yossi that we saw in this source, that on the seventh the Torah was received, the Ten Commandments were received. B'shiva nitna, on the seventh they were given, u'b'shiva ola. And here, seventh here means the seventh of the month. Be careful. This Gemara could be very confusing because you have the same expression but referring to two different dates. And this, again, we're saying courtesy of the Bach's explanation. And if you read Rashi carefully as the sugya unfolds, you'll see that this is a very fine explanation. So, as we said, be careful. According to Rabbi Yossi, who says b'shiva nitna, b'shiva ola here means the seventh of the month. There was no prisha. Dichtiv, the pasuk says vayikra al Moshe b'yom hashvi, and Moshe was summoned on the seventh. And thus, in this case, the seventh means the seventh of Sivan, not 7 days after the Ten Commandments. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, now here we're using a double underline to highlight the two shitas that we found in the Tanaic source, the top of the page and starting at the bottom of the previous Omid. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who said there was Prisha, Sovar Lo Ketana Kamo. He holds like the first opinion in this source that we saw 4 lines ago, the Amar B'Shisha B'Chodesh Nitna Torah, who says that the Torah, meaning the Ten Commandments, were given on the 6th of Sivan. Hilkoch ze hoya maise achar aser sadibros. The pasuk that we're about to read took place after the Ten Commandments. Vayishkoin kvod Hashem al har Sina vayachaseo enon sheshes yomim. The honor of Hashem dwelt upon the mountain, and the mountain, and it says vayachaseo enon, and the cloud covered him for 6 days. And who's the him? Who's that pronoun? Le Moshe. Vayikra el Moshe b'yom hashvi. And on the 7th day after those 6 days, and just like the Bach said before, that would be the 13th of Sivan, Litbuli Shar Torah. That's summoning on that particular 7th day following those 6 days of Moshe being enveloped by the cloud. That was to receive the rest of the Torah. D'Yisalka Daitach V'Yishkon Kvod Hashem Me'Rosh Chodesh. If you were to think that the dwelling of the divine presence of the honor of Hashem was from the beginning of the month, vayachasehu he'onon lahar, and the cloud was covering the mountain, vayikra el Moshe b'yom hashvi, and the summoning of Moshe was on the 7th of the month, likbui aseres hadibros, would mean the receiving of the Ten Commandments on the 7th of the month, but hakabiluhu mishisha, but he already received it on the 6th of the month. For istalik onan mishisha, and the cloud left the mountain from the 6th. So Rav Yossi Aglili, who says there was prisha, he holds like the Tanakama, who says that the Ten Commandments were given on the 6th of the month, and the incident mentioning the cloud and the dwelling of the divine presence that started afterwards from the after the receipt of the Ten Commandments. For Rabbi Akiva Savar lo, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva learns like Rabbi Yossi in the Tanaik. So don't confuse Rabbi Yossi with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That would undermine the whole sugya here. That would be a very major error. Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yossi in the Tanaic source on the first wide line, Diomar b'shiva b'chodesh nitno Torah l'Yisrael. It was on the 7th of the month that the Torah was given, and he read the psukim as we saw earlier, that the Vayishkon Kvod Hashem, that was from Rosh Chodesh, and on the summoning of Moshe was to receive the Ten Commandments on the 7th of the month. So we've presented the two Tanaic opinions from the source earlier, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, and paralleling them to this machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, as we explain. Bishlamo, the Rabbi Akiva, things will work out according to Rabbi Akiva, Hainu de Mishkachas law, and with that we come to the result, the famous result, the Mishnah in Maseches Tainis, B'shiva Osir B'Tamuz Nishtabru Aluchos. On the 17th of Tammuz, the Luchos were smashed. Now, how do you account for the 17th of Tammuz? Very simply, the Luchos were given on the 6th of Sivan. That leaves you with a balance. Whereas if you learn like Rabbi Akiva, who parallels himself with Rabbi Yossi. So we made a slight mistake, let's say this better, that Rabbi Akiva holds that it was given on the 7th of the month. So from the time they were given till the end of the month, you count inclusively, there are Esrim V'Arba de Sivan. There are 24 days of Sivan, counting from the 7th of the month till the end of the month. V'Shitzar de Tammuz, and 16 days of Tammuz, the month that follows Sivan, Molulu Arboin Yomin Dahava Bahar. Then that accounts for the 40 days that he was on the mountain. 24 and 16 is 40. And the Torah said that he would be 40 days with Hashem on the mountain. Ubishivsar Betamuz Nochis. And following that 40-day period on the 17th of Tammuz, he descended. Nochis, he descended. The Osavitavrinu Laluchos, and he then broke the tablets. as the Mishnah says in Tainus, that, and that's why the 17th of Tammuz, it's one of the reasons given for the 17th of Tammuz as being a fast day, a day of a Tainus. Elo the Rabbi Yosi Aglili diomar shisha deprisha, but according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the numbers don't work out, because you've got 6 days of prisha, and only at that point one would think there was Varboim Dahar, 40 days of being on the mountain for receiving the rest of the Torah. So then what we've done is we've moved everything over, we've moved everything forward 6 days. Instead of counting the 40 days from the Ten Commandments, from the beginning of the receiving of the Torah, we're pushing everything forward by 6 days. So, Ad Esrim V'Tlas B'Tamaz Lo is Berluchas. So then only until the 23rd, not the 17th, but the 23rd of Tammuz, would there be the smashing of the Luchos. Amar lach Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili will answer you that Arboyim Dahar, when we speak about Moshe Rabbeinu being on the mountain for 40 days, which concluded with the smashing of the Luchos, that's Behade Shisha Deprisha. That 40 includes the 6 days of Prisha. Even though during those days he wasn't involved with receiving the rest of the Torah, but nevertheless the 40 figure includes those days. Omar Mar. Now, before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side, the Nosei, the topic heading, Ha'im Achirim Shomu Ma Shashem Diber El Moshe. The Pasuk makes reference to the Kodesh Baruch Hu speaking with Moshe, summoning Moshe. The issue will be, did the rest of Klal Yisrael hear that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying? Let's now continue in the Gemara. Vayikra El Moshe. Now, by the way, there is an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see where this is a quote from. Omar Mor, Vayukra Moshe, Moshe v'chol Yisrael oimdim. Misayale the Rabbi Lozer. This Tanaic source supports Rabbi Lozer, the Omar Rabbi Lozer, Vayukra Moshe, Moshe v'chol Yisrael oimdim, v'lo bo, hakosav elochalek loikovo the Moshe. The Pasuk says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out to Moshe, really, he was calling to everyone heard, and the focus on Moshe, the isolation of Moshe was only a function of bestowing honor to Moshe in the Pasuk. But other than that, everyone heard. Meisve, we raise an objection. The Tanaic source opens Kol Loi. The Pasuk says Kol Elov, and really the Pasuk really says Vayishma Esakol Medaber Elov. However, the word Elov means the Kol was unto him. Moshe Shoma V'chol Yisrael Loi Shomu. Now, we dashed under on V'chol Yisrael Loi Shomu. That runs counter to what we just got finished saying. We saw Rebbe Lozer say that Moshe Rabbeinu was summoned, but really Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of Israel were summoned. They heard the speaking of Hashem, and yet in this source we see that when Hashem speaks, it reaches only Moshe, not the rest of Klal Yisrael. Three more answers, and we have a numbering here 1, and next line 2, a couple of responses. And we've introduced each response with a double underline. Loi kashya. There isn't a contradiction or a difficulty between these two sources. Ha b'sinai, ha b'oil mayed. One was regarding the incident around the around Mount Sinai. There, everyone heard. And ha b'oil mayed, when the Almighty was speaking to Moshe through the Mishkan, or at the Mishkan, there only Moshe Rabbeinu heard. The Eboyesema, the squiggle underline, as we've mentioned in the past, highlights an alternative expression. And here the Gemara says, if you prefer, you can say lo kashya, no contradiction, ha bekriya, ha bedibor. The Marsha elaborates on this. When the Pasuk introduces the when the pasuk uses the term Vayikra explicitly, then they did hear. However, when the pasuk doesn't introduce the whatever is to be said by the word Vayikra, then only Moshe Rabbeinu heard. Rabbi Zrika Rami Kroy Kamei Derabalazar. Rabbi Zrika raised what would seem to be a contradiction in Psukim in the presence of Rabbi Elazar, V'Amri Lo, another version of names, Omer Rabbi Zrika, Rabbi Elazar, Rami. Instead of Rabbi Zrika raising the contradiction, Rabbi Zrika tells us that Rabbi Elazar raises the contradiction. Ksiv, one pasuk says, V'lo yachol Moshe lovo el oil moye, ki shochan alov he'onan. Moshe Rabbeinu could not enter the Mishkan, because the cloud dwelt upon it. Uksiv ayovo Moshe besocha ona. Another pasuk says he entered the cloud. In other words, the cloud does not prevent him. So the Gemara explains, Malame shetofso ekodesh baruch hu leMoshe ve'avihu be'onan. The pasuk says, Vayovo Moshe besocha ona, teaches us that the Kodesh Baruch Hu kivyochol, it's as if to say that the Almighty grabbed Moshe and brought him into the cloud. Which would mean that on his own he didn't have the power to enter, but with divine assistance, then he was able to enter. The Bay Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they present the following Tanaic source. Nemar Kan Besoich, regarding Besoich Onan, and the into the cloud, Venemar Alon Besoich Vayavo Bnei Yisrael Besoich Hayom, in the splitting of the sea of the Yamsuf, it says, and Klal Yisrael entered the sea. Now, in the crossing of the sea, Mal Halon Shvil, just like there was a pathway, the water rose to form walls on either side of Klal Yisrael, who were walking, in effect, through a path created in the sea. So, Af Kan Shvil, so too, when it comes to Basoche Onon, there was a path that was formed enabling him to enter the cloud. So using the word comparison of the word Basoch in the case of Basoche Onon and Basoche Hayam, just like Basoche Hayam means a path was formed, so too Basoche Onon means a path was formed in the cloud. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Noseya topic heading. Ma lomdim, what do we learn me, hakdomas kriya ledibor b'pasuk, from the fact that the word vayikra precedes, in many psukim, precedes the word vayedaber. And the second thing the Gemara will investigate, mashmos hamilo leimor, what is behind the word, what is the meaning of the word leimor? Now the Gemara, Vayikra el Moshe Vayedaber. Lomo hiktim kriya ledibor. Why does the word kriya appear before dibor? It says, the pasuk says, and he called unto Moshe and said. The pasuk could have phrased it in a more abbreviated fashion. So why is it this way? Limdo Torah derecheretz. The Torah teaches us proper behavior. Shelo yomar odom dover lechavero elim ken kor. A person shouldn't start speaking to his friend unless he draws his attention beforehand. So you should, if you want to say something to somebody, and you first call them, you call them by name, and then say what you want to say. Messiah Leila Rabbi Chanino, this supports Rabbi Chanino's teaching. The Amar Chanino, Lo Yomar Odom Dover Chaver Elim Kain Koreo. Rabbi Chanino apparently had said this, maybe unaware of this teaching. So he said that that's the way one should conduct himself, not to speak to his friend unless he draws his attention ahead of time, prior to that, or summons him, calls him by name. The next word, Lamor, Omar of Manasseh. There's a question of how to read these names, but we'll read it with the suggestion that it's Manasseh instead of Rav Musia, Omer of Manasseh, Bar Breda of Manasseh, Mishmeder of Manasseh, Rabo, Minayin, Laomer Dover Lechavero, Shubabal Yomar, Ach Yomer Lo, Lechemor. From where do we know? That's a beautiful rule of etiquette that when you tell something to your friend, the one who heard it is under a negative command, meaning he is prohibited to tell over what you just told him to anyone else until specific instructions are given by the speaker, go tell this to others. Let's read that line again. Minayin lo'omer l'chavero dover l'chavero. Let's read that more accurately. Minayin lo'omer dover l'chavero. From where do we know that when you tell something to your friend, shehu b'bal yomar, that he is restricted to tell it to others, ad shiomer lo, until the original speaker says, lech emor, go tell this to someone else. Where do we know that from? Shenemar, v'yedaber Hashem elav me'ol moed lemor. The word lemor is taken to mean, like we just got finished darshaning. Rashi says, across from here, Shu Baval Yomar, Talmud Lomar, Lemor, Lo Emor Advorim, Elo Imkain No Sein, Lo Rishus. Do not say over these things to others unless you're given specific permission. And this, by the way, is contrary to the common belief when people say something to others and say, well, I said it over because no one told me not to say it. You don't need to be told specifically not to say something in order to be restricted. You're automatically restricted unless you received specific instructions that you are allowed to tell this to others. The Gemara continues now with a point that is a direct continuation of something mentioned back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. In order for you to be able to find the point of connection, we provide a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text with an indication to look back at Gimel Amud Beis, find the parallel arrow there, which would say Dalet Amud Beis, and you can see that this is coming off of the discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Where does each one learn Prisha from? And Reish Lakish had mentioned to Rabbi Yochanan, well, according to you, are you going to say, just like everything that's written in the Torah concerning Miluim is binding, so too with regard to Yom Kippur? And Rabbi Yochanan did not argue with Reish Lakish on that point. Namely, as the Gemara concludes, Michlal, the Travayu, we can conclude from that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the emphasis here is on Rabbi Yochanan, Sviro Lehu Miluim, Kol HaKosev Bohen Maki Bohen. Whatever the Torah writes in the context of Miluim, is should be known that it is binding. The Itmar Miluim, the concerning Miluim, it is said, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, two Amoroyim, we have statements made, but we don't know who makes which statement. Chad Omar, Kol HaKosuv Bohen Maki Bohen, whatever the Torah writes concerning Miluim, it is binding. V'chad Omar, Dovra Maki V'doros Maki Bohen, Shein Makev Ludoros, Ein Makev Bohen. The other Deya says, we don't know right now who says what, but says only that which is binding for future generations will be binding there. Something that's not binding for future generations will not be binding there by the Miluim. Well, we have two names. We underline the pronoun, the Chad Omer. He said this and he said that. The question is, who said what? Tistayim de Rabbi Yochanan, who the Omar? Let us conclude that Rabbi Yochanan and not Rabbi Chanina is the one that said, "Kol haKosuv Bohen Maki Bohen." That in order to determine what is binding, you simply look at what is written. Now, how do I know? How do I know that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that would say that? Midekamar lei Rabbi Shimon Lokish Rabbi Yochanan, from the fact that we saw back on Gimel Amud Beis, Reish Lakish saying to Rabbi Yochanan, E ma miluim kol haKosuv. Notice our dot underlining. Kol haKosuv en maki bohen. Reish Lakish said, "Well, if you're going to learn prisha from miluim, are you going to say that everything that just like everything that is written in the Torah by miluim is binding?" For lo kamahadir levelamidi, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't respond, didn't deny that. Tistayim. So with that, we can then conclude that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that authored that statement. In the meantime, we have seen a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina regarding what aspect of Miluim, what activities of Miluim, of the consecration period leading up to the opening of the Mishkan,
what activities are binding? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we've just concluded that whatever the Torah writes in the context of the miluim, that must be performed. The Gemara at the bottom asks, "My binayu, what is the difference between saying kol ha-kosov bahen versus something that's ma'akev l'doros?" So, very simply put, our Gemara wants to know what is the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Now, if you glance at the top of Hey Omed Aleph, you'll notice a triangle, the double underline that appears right afterwards. These triangles introduce a series of answers to this question. Namely, we will see things that are written by the Miluim. However, they are things, they're activities that are not binding over future generations. Bow ties will appear, highlighting the word Ulodoros, and we'll explain that they introduce sources that whatever was said in each particular section is something that's not binding for future generations. So you'll have something that may be written in the Torah concerning the Miluim, but it's not binding. It's not an activity that's binding over future generations. That whatever activity that will be, that will be the point of difference. So to get into this a bit, we start at the top of Hey Omer Aleph, Omer of Yosef, Smicha Iko Binayu, the necessity of placing one's hands on the head of the sacrifice. That's smicha. That will be a point of difference. Now, we mentioned that during the miluim, so sacrifices were offered. Mamandomar kol kosubahen ma'akibahen. Anyone who says, or he who says, that whatever the Torah writes concerning miluim is binding, so ma'akfa, so smicha will be ma'akev, because the Torah makes reference to smicha in the context of the miluim. Lamandomar dover shein ma'akev ledoros ein ma'akev bohen. However, according to the opinion, it says an action that's not binding during future generations will not be an action that is binding with regard to the miluim. Well, lo ma'akfa, smicha is not ma'akev. Smicha is not something that is a binding requirement regarding the offering of sacrifices in general. Ludoros menolon de lo ma'akfa. And as you answered that over the future generations, smicha is something that's not binding. In other words, it's a proper thing to do, but if you don't do it, the korban will still be kosher. From where do I know that? The sanyo, that information is contained in the following Tanaic source. The psukim read, v'somach v'nirtze. It says, there are a number of words between the two, but v'somach is the placing of the hands, v'nirtze means, and the korban is acceptable. V'chismicha mechaperes, is it so that the placing of the hands results in atonement? V'alo ein kapora elo bedam, shenemar, atonement, and which is expressed by the word v'nirtze. Atonement is achieved only through the blood application to the altar. Shenemar ki adam hu benefesh yichaper, that it's through blood that one achieves atonement. Uma tamad lomar v'somach v'nirtze. So if atonement is achieved through blood application to the altar, so what does the pasuk mean when it says v'somach v'nirtze? V'nirtze meaning purification or atonement. So what does it really mean then? The Torah is communicating the following, that if you treat smicha as something that's expendable and don't do it, well, ma lava kosov kilu lo kiper, the posuk is then considering such a person as if he didn't achieve atonement. He didn't achieve atonement in the fullest sense, in the proper sense, the kiper, but as far as his basic atonement, he does achieve that. We glance at Rashi on the third line from the top, v'kiper, kid amrim bezvochim kiper legavra. the person achieves atonement. The ikur kapara badam, the primary form of atonement is through the blood sprinkling. Aval lo kiper nami mitzvahs kono min amufchar. However, as far as the performance of the mitzvah in its best way, that he hasn't accomplished. So that is the first point of difference as far as difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, the issue of smicha. Is smicha something that's written? Well, yes, it is, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it will be binding by the miluim. Is smicha something that in subsequent generations of korban sacrificing, is it something that's binding? No, it's not something that's binding. So according to Rabbi Chanina, if smicha was not done, the miluim are still acceptable, still good, they still fulfilled their mitzvah. As you can see, this structure continues down the rest of this omid, and since we're in the context of the Daf Yomi Shurim, so this would be a convenient place to pause. But before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.